Has the world gone crazy? Life is difficult. Jobs, bills, health, relationships. When you need help, where do you turn? It seems everyone wants to sell you a package to fix your life. Welcome to Christian Impact, impacting your life with spiritual truth. I am Dr. Kelly Blanton, and I'm sharing practical truths in the Bible that can truly change your life. Today, January 7th, 2022, we'll begin our journey together in episode 1 entitled Ears to Hear. So we begin with the question, is it possible after all this time that we are beginning to realize that there has not been the real preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now, the question itself almost sounds like something heretical. We're not talking about the basic understanding of Christianity, but what has actually been taught or what hasn't been taught. And as I begin, we're going to talk about the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And that's where we're going to begin. But in doing so, I think we need to have a little defining. What is mysteries? Mysteries and secrets are not the same thing. And as I begin all this teaching of everything I will do, I want to get out of the way that God is not keeping secrets from us. He has revealed all things to us. And when it comes to secrets, that's something the occult, that is something that Satan, our adversary, enemy, that's what he wants to do, is keep things secret. He wants to have secret knowledge. You get into religious systems of the world, and there's idea that you have to get into the secret group and the secret information to really find out the truths. Many of you listening to me today have heard from Jobs and things that there's this secret understanding. There's this secret group. If you can just get into this niche, this special thing, that you can succeed. And that's not coming from the heart of God. It's not coming from His Word, and that's not biblical. So when we talk about mysteries, we're not talking about secrets. God has revealed all things, and yet there are mysteries in the Word of God. And so we're going to talk about this and define it, but I wanted to get this out in the open immediately, that we're not talking about something God is keeping a secret, but it is a mystery. There is some mysteries here. And what we're going to, as we look and we get into this, what we're going to find out is that the difference between a secret and a mystery has to do with your understanding. It has to do with our understanding. So how can we know? How can we know the real gospel that is being preached? Is there being preached? There's so many differences going on. What's going on in the world? The world. And that's why this message is entitled Ears to Hear, because we need to be able to hear the truth. How can we hear the truth and know it? Well, there are ways that you can do this. And obviously, I want to immediately get into that. Hearing comes by the Spirit. It comes by the Spirit of God. And we're going to look and discuss and what this means and how to live this out in our life. Now, as we begin, we're going to look at a scripture in Isaiah 55, verses 2, 3, and then verses 8 and 9. I'll read those together. It says, "Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I start here because if we notice in these verses, we hear the Lord telling us that we need to hear if we want to live. If we want our soul, our mind to live, we need to hear Him. And we need to hear what He's saying. And He's saying here that His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And when it's talking about ways, let's just get to the truth. I like to simplify things. We're talking about understanding. You see, this passage here is laying down something as we go into this talk and this understanding. And that's that what God thinks is not what we think. How God devises things, we can't even begin to comprehend. His ways, his understanding is higher than our ways. And therefore, we need to listen to him when he's going to give us instruction. And we need to listen to him because one of the things that we're going to get into is that there are many voices speaking to us today in the world. That's why the world seems to be going crazy. We've had a pandemic. Some people still think we're in a pandemic. You turn on the TV and you hear thousands of different things you need to be doing with your life. Wear a mask, don't wear a mask. Get a shot, get two shots, get three shots. Don't go out, stay in. No, you need to go out. We need workers. We have a labor shortage, but no, many, many different things. And it reeks of confusion. And as a Christian, we understand that confusion is an art form from the enemy. And so because of this, we need to listen to hear from the Lord. Because if we're not, we're going to follow another voice. And let's just be honest, those other voices are counterfeits. They're here to deceive us. And there's lots of deception. And again, we started off the program. There seems to be a guru everywhere trying to tell you how to fix your life. This program, what we're doing here, is to tell you what the Bible, what does God say? What does God say to fix my life? I don't want to listen to a man. I want to listen to the Lord. That's why we're going to go over lots of scripture. And I encourage you, if you have a Bible listening to this, that you get it out. You look at it. Just don't take my word for it. But what does the scripture say? But immediately, I want you to understand that the world does not understand God. If you're listening to this and you've not met, if you're not a Christian, if you're not a believer in the Lord, you're not going to understand a lot of what I'm saying. Because the world just doesn't understand God, what he's speaking. And because of that, there's confusion. Unfortunately, many believers, we listen the same way most of the world listens. And because of that, we don't understand. And when you don't understand, you seek for answers. And today, it's very common for, and acceptable, by the way, for individuals, institutions, agencies, famous people, leaders, government officials. They will call upon psychics, mediums, gurus, demonic soothsayers. They're looking for guidance and assistance. And their objective is to hear from the spiritual realm what they cannot see or hear in the natural realm. In the city that I live in, you can, I was going to say go to the paper, but we don't use papers anymore. You can go to Craigslist, you can go to online directories, and you can see many, many listings for palm readers, mediums, tarot card readers, all sorts of occultic astrologists that will try to bring you information. What's even more crazy is that you can drive down the street and there are actually shops that sell occultic materials, that palm readers, you can walk in and have them read your palms. This stuff that was not so visible 50 years ago is suddenly commonplace on the street. And it's because people are looking for answers. And the church has not always wanted to provide answers. And when I say the church, we have to realize is that just because you have a building with a name doesn't mean it's following the Lord. Now, I'm not against all churches. There are many good, believing churches filled with people who love God and know God. But there are also a lot of churches that are empty. They're devoid of truth. And we're going to look at that. I like to call these the religious churches, the religious system of our nation. And I need to address this a little bit because, you see, the backbone for the religious church for centuries has been about studying the God of the Bible rather than knowing or experiencing the God of the Bible. They have they think the supernatural power and heavenly wisdom of God is obtained through intellectual study. However, the truth is that the people that wrote the Bible, that's not how it happened. They didn't study a scripture to know God. God came and met and experienced them. And we have the Bible. It is God's word. It is guidance to us. But the study of the Bible is to help us to know and experience God, is not to be our God. And so we need to understand that the real church is relational. It's about intimately relating to God and hearing Him by the Spirit. You know, the purpose of Christians assembling together in groups is to experience intimate relationship with God and with one another. Our gathering is to be a living experience with the life-giving Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit imparting life and wisdom to us. When we come together in a church setting and a corporate gathering, it's to experience the expressing of our love for God in sincere praise and worship together. You know, many people say, I can be a believer and love God on my own. Well, you can worship God on your own, but we're also called to worship God with each other. And there's something about the experience of worshiping God together, to experience His supernatural reality together. You know, if I have a burning bush experience with Moses and I went out and tell people about it, most people would say, hey, you're a little crazy. And to be honest, there'd be times when I would wonder, did that really happen to me? However, if you have an experience with God alone, and then you go and you're worshiping with others, and then together you have that same experience, it reinforces what God did with you as an individual, because now there's other people. You know, you see that in the Bible. Moses had his burning bush, but when he went back and addressed the Israelites, they thought he was crazy. But then he began performing signs and wonders in their midst. He performed the miracle with the leper's hand and throwing his staff down and becoming a snake and picking it back up. And that's even before we get to the plagues for Egypt. We're just talking about with the believers. God showed himself corporately to them. And that's something for us to understand, is that corporately, when we come together, we need to experience God together. And so that means that as believers, we really need to return to the reality of hearing and following the voice of God. And again, it may be something that is spoken about, but not really taught or practiced. And so my hope today is to encourage you. There are many churches that will teach how to hear God's voice and practice it and help you to do this. So today, we're going to learn to depend on God, the indwelling Holy Spirit, and the Word of God to discern, to understand the mysteries of God and the darkness of the world that we live in. So, to begin, when we want to hear, we have to learn to hear with our heart. Now, when I say heart, I'm not talking about your organ that's pumping in you. Many times in the Bible, specifically in the Old Testament, there will be references to your heart. It's not referring to your blood pumping organ. That doesn't have ears that can hear. That's talking about your inner man, your spirit. You know, when it says knowing a man and about his heart, it's about the inner person, not the organ. And so when God speaks, when we listen, it's in our heart, it's in our spirit. And so, and when we talk to God, that speech, that talk is prayer. And so prayer involves both hearing and speaking to God. And very quickly, when we understand this, we understand there will be different levels of hearing, just the same way as there is different levels of speaking and listening. And so, to know God's plan and power, we have to stop using worldly understanding and wisdom. Remember, God's ways are not our ways. So if I want to hear God, I have to hear Him, not myself. And see, something interesting happened in Genesis chapter 3. That is the fall, Adam and Eve. And they ate the forbidden fruit, which was from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what many times I'll ask people is, what was the curse in Genesis? What was the curse of the fall? And we want to say, well, the curse was being thrown out of the garden. The curse was childbearing. The curse was, and we come up with all these excuses. The curse was taking from the knowledge of good and evil. It was eating from that tree. And so what we have to understand, there have been many books written about this, by the way. Rick Joyner wrote a book several years ago called There Were Two Trees in the Garden. There are many things. If you want more information, there's lots of resources out there in the world. But the idea is that we have to stop putting our reasoning above God's reasoning. We need to put God first in our lives if we're going to listen and understand. So let's go to the Word. John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, then you must hear His voice. How can we follow Him if we cannot hear Him? Psalm 85:8. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace to His people and to His saints, but let them not turn back to foolishness. Again, the psalmist, I will hear. You have to listen to what God is going to speak. Acts chapter 4, verses 19 through 20. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Again, we see the word listen and seen and heard here, but it's some little different context here. There's little multiple views going on here. Peter and John are saying to the Pharisees, they've been brought in because they're preaching, and they've been ordered not to preach in Jesus' name anymore. And they said that whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God. And so, who are you listening to? You know, we've already talked about there's many voices in the world, and who are you listening to? They said they have to talk about what they've seen and heard. But this idea about listening, it wasn't that they didn't want to listen. It wasn't like they put their hands on the ears and they said, no, I'm not going to listen to you. What they were saying is, we're not going to listen or receive the truth that they were declaring. What was the truth they were declaring? They were telling them, when they said not to preach, so what they were really saying is, it is wrong for you to do this. In other words, it was wrong for you to preach in the name of Jesus. It is wrong for you to tell us about Jesus. It is wrong for you to tell us this spiritual truth. That is what they were not going to listen to. There are many believers that live in very dangerous countries. That they can be killed for being believers. They will definitely be killed for sharing their faith. And it's not a cowardice act or foolishness for them to just walk out on the street and say, oh yeah, well, I'm not going to listen to you because God said this. And they just preach and get shot. That's, you know, they don't want to die, but they also, what? They want to live out their truth, and they have to be covert. And there, in China, there's a large underground church movement. There's underground church movements all through the Middle East in Muslim nations. There are believers in vastly persecuted areas, and they aren't just out on the streets because of the level of persecution, but they have not listened. They have not bought into the lie that what they understand being truth is wrong. Today, in our world, there's so many messages that are trying to tell you, don't do that. It is wrong. You know, it's is very wrong to have a lot of Christian values in our world today. They want to tell us, you can't say this about this sin that is wrong. And so we don't need to listen to those voices. What we want to do is speak what we have seen and heard. Again, this heard, I've heard this from the Lord. It's the only way that you can operate in a world that's so contrary to what God wants. Is how can you do that? Well, have you heard from the Lord? John 16, verses 12 through 14. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Notice here that the Spirit of God is going to speak to us. He's going to tell us what he hears Jesus speak, and that he will tell us things to come. He's not going to explain things that have happened. He's going to tell us of things to come. And so God always said, when you read the scripture, God always said, he's not the God of the dead, he's the God of the living. He's the living God, and he's with us now. True, he was, but he is now, and he will be. John 16, 25. Again, Jesus speaking, these things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. Now, this is very powerful, and I need to get this, because as we go out throughout this year in our teaching about the kingdom and Christian living, we're going to be dealing a lot with this figurative language. What is figurative language? Well, it's not symbolic. Figurative language contains symbols, but it's not symbolic. You see, a lot of times when people, they get into the symbolism in the Bible, and there is a lot of symbols, but the difference is that figurative uses a physical characteristic to try to explain a spiritual truth. Therefore, it's got some symbols used, but that's, if it's symbolic, then that means that symbol would mean the same thing throughout all Scripture. And that's not necessarily so. Let me give you a silly example. If I said the kingdom of heaven is like a cup of coffee, and then gave you an explanation, what I'm trying to tell you is that, you know, heaven or this spiritual truth, it's like this cup of coffee. It's, you know, and I could try to describe the characteristics of the cup of coffee and helping you better understand the kingdom of heaven. Again, this is a silly example. It's not scriptural. I like coffee. Many people like coffee. But in this example, if it was symbolic, then every cup of coffee would represent heaven. And that's not what we see in Scripture. That's not what is meant. He's using a figurative speech. So how can you understand this? Well, number one, context. You know, if you just read and put things in context, that's where, when I was younger, I never understood those English classes. And, you know, that English class, and I know that the original manuscripts are Greek and Hebrew, but there are certain grammar skills that you develop that is necessary to help you understand context. And so often people read things and they don't understand what they read because they didn't read it in context. The news media is terrible about telling you the news out of context. That's how you get lies and deception. Context means a lot, but also you need to hear from the Spirit. And it gets into this, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. See, when this was written, this is sort of a great thing. When Jesus said this, and it was written, and he said the figurative language, most of your Bible is nothing but figurative language. It was there. But he was going to tell us plainly about the Father. The Spirit of God tells us plainly what those things mean. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1, verses 20. And then I'm going to go to chapter 2, verses 1 and then verses 12 through 16. So, again, I'm not trying to avoid context. You can read those in context, but we don't have time to read all the in-between stuff that doesn't really have any bearing on where we're going. So, but you can. Anyway, but 1 Corinthians 1:20 and on says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual truths or spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Who is the scribe? Well, the scribes at the time were the people that were writing scripture. There's a lot of rules. It wasn't like they had printing presses. You had to physically write this stuff out. They had scribes. That was their job. They were to copy out the scripture. They knew the scripture well. Yet, in their knowledge, when they would confront Jesus many times, they didn't understand anything that they had written. They knew the word, that as far as word to word to word, they could quote, but they didn't understand. We have many people that are coming out of Bible colleges and seminaries today, master's degrees, PhDs. They know the information. They have intellectually studied the Word of God, yet they have not heard from God. Goes on and talks about where's the disputer of this age. Well, you know, a disputer is an accuser. This is someone that's telling you you're wrong. You don't understand. This is when we get into those religious people who think they're right because of their education or certification. Now, I'm not anti-education. I have a master's. I have a doctorate. But I can tell you that those are worthless in comparison to knowing and experiencing the Word of God. I know in my studies, I received my master's and doctorate. I finished that work. I'll be real honest. Not because of the information I was getting imparted to by the school, but because I was listening to the Lord and he gave me knowledge to get through those classes. He was imparting things to me. I'm not saying I don't learn things from men, but the real understanding comes from the Lord. I have heard a very famous biblical teacher. I will not name his name, but he's very well respected. And he was in a conference and is very well documented and videoed. It's on YouTube and places. And he was speaking against the move of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And he was very pro-cessation, that God does not do these things. And he sat back in his chair at one point and he said, if God was going to give out supernatural gifts like this today, then it would have to be to those of the purest theological knowledge. And surely they would be the ones that would have this. And when he said this, you knew he was implying himself and other people like him. Since he didn't move in these gifts, they couldn't be real because he was pure in his theology. You know, if that was true, then Jesus wouldn't have been born in a manger. He would have been born in a palace with kings and with priests and with the high officials. Instead, he came to a poor carpenter family. He was greeted by shepherds. Yes, we have the Magi, but he didn't live that type of life. He left a life as just a poor nobody. And when he selected his disciples to change the world, he chose an educated fisherman, a zealot, a tax collector, the low people of society, drunkards and prostitutes came to him. Why? Because he was imparting something to them that the religious, that the ways of man could not understand and could not impart. That's why this passage goes on to say that the natural man does not receive the things from the Spirit of God. A natural human being, you and I in our natural selves, cannot understand God. We can't. It has to come from the Spirit of God. And it says that these things are spiritually discerned. Discerned means it's being covered. If you want to discern something, you gotta peel back to get to the truth of what's on the inside. Anytime I think of peeling back, I think of peeling an onion. You know, an onion can have a bad spot, and you just peel off the bad spot, and you get good spots. Likewise with onions, you can look good, and you peel in the bad stuff on the inside. You have to peel away to see what's really there. But notice it goes on, this passage goes on to say, but the spiritual judges all things, for he himself is rightly judged by no one. What's that about? If you know the Lord, if you're hearing from the Spirit of God, then you're hearing the truth. You're hearing the real thing. You're judged by no one because the natural, the things of this world, is not real. It's fake. It's deceptive. There is a real world that God himself is in, and then there's our physical world, which is fallen and deceived. And if we try to understand it using our ways, our thinking, we will be deceived. And that's why he says, for who can know the mind of the Lord that may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. By coming to Jesus, he can give you a new mind. You can hear his Spirit, and he will help you to change how you think. I don't want to think like I think. I want to think like he thinks. I need him. How can I do this? How can we have the mind of Christ? Well, you have to love him. That's almost unbelievably simple. You want the mind of Christ? Love him. You know. So if I just love him, I can hear him. Well, that'll get you going on the path. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. It says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages, for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So how do we hear God? It's maturity. You know, he said, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. If you want to hear the Lord, if you want to hear the voice, you need maturity. You know, well, how do you get maturity? Well, you get maturity by loving God. The more you love God, the more you grow. You grow in your maturity. And maturity has a lot to do with relationships. I know often when we think of maturity, we think of, oh, well, you go to school and you learn this stuff. And, you know, going to school doesn't make a person mature. There's a lot of people that have graduated high school and they're still not mature. There are some people that they're extremely mature and they just started high school. There are people that go to college and graduated college. Some are mature, some are not. I've met 30, 50-year-olds, extremely immature. And when you look at people that are immature, the first thing you'll notice is that immature people have immature relationships. Mature people have very mature relationships. Mature people handle their relationships in a very responsible way. Immature people do not handle those relationships that way. And often we can be deceived into thinking that those relationships are because of the maturity. But what if the maturity is affected because of the relationships? You see, if relationships affect your maturity, then your loving God affects how you grow. If you love God, you will grow with him. You will do things for him. If you truly love someone, you're not rude to them. You want to be polite. When you do stupid things, you apologize. You grow. You learn through those things. You say a child doesn't mature because you send him to school. A child matures because of his relationships with his parents, because his parents teach him things, and the child listens because he loves them, he or she loves them, and because they do that, they change, they grow, they adapt. And so if we love God, we will listen, change, adapt. And you see, it says here that what the wisdom of God is a mystery. What's a mystery? A mystery is something we don't understand. God's wisdom is a mystery. I don't understand it. Because I don't understand it, it's a hidden mystery. It's hidden because if you don't know, you don't know. Like a child that wants to reach up and grab a hot pan when you're cooking on the stove. He doesn't know that it's hot. And so you tell him no. And he gets mad and throws a tantrum. I know if you're a parent out there, I want to be sarcastic and say it's never happened to you. It happens to all parents all the time. And there's the parent. Your towel's throwing a fit because they think you don't love them, but you're really trying to protect them. The child does not understand that burner is a mystery. However, as they grow, as they mature with you, they begin to have understanding, and that understanding affects how they live their life. And notice here it says in the scripture, we speak this wisdom. You know, why do they speak it? Well, because it has been what? It has been revealed, you know. It's been prepared for those who love him. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. See, the Spirit knows these deep things. He knows these mysteries. The Spirit of God understands these. Even though we haven't seen, we haven't heard, it hasn't even entered our understanding, it's not our ways. But God has done these things for those who love him. And so if you love him, his Spirit reveals, he speaks these things to you. And he does it in a way that as you mature, you gain greater understanding. And as you gain greater understanding, then this mystery of God becomes known to you. You see, God's not keeping it a secret. God's mystery is not a secret. If you don't understand it, you may think it's a secret, but it's there. It's until you get understanding, and you can't get understanding until you mature. So if you don't love God, you can't mature. If you can't mature, you can't understand. If you can't understand, then it might as well just be a secret to you. So, moving on here, the deep secrets of God are not revealed to those who love anything as much or more than they love God. That's a meditation moment there. Who's really think and ponder that? Do I have something that I love more or as much as I love God? If I do, then I'm not going to get that revelation. I can't understand the mystery because I'm putting something before the Lord and I will not listen to his Spirit, especially in those areas. Only spiritually mature who loves God more than anything else can hear the deep, quote, hidden mysteries of God's wisdom. You know, and that's why in the scripture, Jesus used a figurative language. When you read many of the parables, it's a figurative language. If you don't love God, you're going to read the parable and you don't really understand it. You can go to school and seminary and study it and study explanations told by others and listen to it, but it doesn't really have deep meaning to you and therefore doesn't alter how you live your life. You don't understand it. It's just words on a page. But when you suddenly have the Spirit of God speak to you and all of a sudden the true understanding of it comes to you, it changes your life. It changes how you live. And that comes through maturity. And so, you want to gain maturity, you need to love God. And as you love God, I know that seems really simple, just loving him. But if you love him, when you love someone, just think about it. What do you do? You know, a guy and the girl. I'm a guy. I can't really speak from a girl's perspective. But as a guy, I saw the girl that I wanted to marry. And so what did I do? Well, I spoke nicely to them. I was respectful to them. I wanted to do things for them. I began putting them before myself. I began, there was things that I was doing because, why? Because I liked them. I loved them. I wanted, and so if I love God, then I want to what? Pursue Him. I want to do things for Him. And it's funny because it's not like I do things and that scores me points with God. That's not how that works. But it's that pursuit of God. It brings transformation to your life. It brings maturity. Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. It's quite a bit of verses here, but we're going to get into some of these things. It says, "And the disciples came to him and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' And he answered and said to them, 'Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it will not be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of this people has grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Deep things are being revealed right there in this passage. I pray as you listen that you can understand that the Spirit is speaking to you. See, God speaks mysteries, and He spoke mysteries. And when His disciples asked Him about it, he gave them explanation. Notice He says, they can't see, they can't hear. Why? Because the heart of this people has grown dull. When your heart grows dull, you cannot hear from the Lord. And there are many Christians in churches today, there are many believers who have dull hearts. They might have started out loving God and being excited, but they've grown cold and they've grown hard and they don't hear from the Lord. And so when you bring spiritual truth to them, they get grumpy and they act like, yeah, yeah, we've heard that before. Yeah, yeah, we've done that before. Yeah, yeah, pat you on the head. Someday you'll be mature like me and you'll be grumpy and cold. I know when I was experiencing that as a young believer, I would pray to God and say, God, please don't ever let me become grumpy and cold. If that's what maturity is like, I don't want to be mature. But you see, that's not really maturity. that's a cold, hard heart that is now immature and they can't understand, they cannot see. But if we want to hear God, if we want to get into those mysteries, it's about what? It's about the heart. Mark 12:29, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." Only a pure heart can truly hear these mysteries. And so as I speak, I just want to say this. Having a desire to have a heart doesn't make it so. If you're a Star Wars fan, you can quote Yoda, "Do or do not, there is no try." We can't say, "I want to love God," and think that'll make us love God. You either love Him or you don't love Him. There's not a, "I want to," "I hope to." You just have to do it. You have to love God. In marriage counseling, when I do marriage counseling, and you're dealing with couples that are strained, and one will say, "Well, I just don't know if I love Him anymore." I go, "Did you love Him when you got married?" "Well, yes." "Then why did you choose not to?" Love's not a feeling. Love produces feelings. That's why when you love someone, they can make you angry. When you love someone, they can upset you. when you love someone, they can also bring you joy and happiness far greater than anyone else. Love produces emotions. Love is not an emotion. And so you can't say, I won't. You have to do it. You have to love. You say, I don't know how. Well, do you know how to be saved? We were saved by putting our faith in Christ. I don't know how to be saved. I trust that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I trust Him. I put my faith in Him. He rose from the dead. I don't have to understand all the theological implications of what dying on a cross and rising from the dead entailed to be saved. I don't have to intellectually understand that. I have to, by faith in Christ, and just receive it. It's the same way with loving God. You just, by faith, love Him. You just reach out and do that. And so the question for us is, do you really love Him? Or do you just say you want to love Him? Do you just, I hope I will. I hope I delight in Him. You know, how do you do that? Well, I'll talk about faith. You know, a practical way of knowing, well, how do I live that out? How do I love Him? Like, I get up in the morning. How do I perform that? Because if love's not an emotion and I'm not feeling ooey-gooey about God in the moment, how do I know I'm loving Him? Well, you know, the Bible gives us some practical advice on that. Luke chapter 14, verses 33. So Jesus said, "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." Matthew 16, 24 through 25. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." How do I know if I'm loving God? I'm not feeling ooey-gooey? I'm not feeling that emotion? Are you denying yourself and following Him? Have you taken up the cross? You know, that term, taking up the cross, in the days of Jesus was symbolic for you're going to die. You're going to be executed. You're going to die. It was almost like me saying, take up your electric chair and follow Him. You're not going to live your life anymore. You're going to live whatever God's given you to live. Excuse me there. You're going to follow Him. And so when you're not feeling ooey-gooey, are you following Him? Are you laying down your life? Have you released everything to God that's precious to you? You know, Mark 10, verses 29 and 30 says, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's sake who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, and with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." Are you willing to lay down those things that mean the most to you? See, Jesus wasn't talking about you got to throw away your family, you got to throw away your home. These are the things that are most precious to you. Have you put God first? Have you put Him first? If something else is put first, you got to lay those things down. I want to hear from the Lord. And, you know, when you lay these things down, when you put God first, it says what? It says, you're going to receive 100-fold now in this time. In other words, if I take my wife, I take my children, I take my job, if I lay those things that are most precious down to Him, I put Him first, He's going to turn around and give me 100-fold. My relationship with my wife can be 100-fold better. My relationship with my children can be 100-fold better. My jobs, those, they can be better now. See, in the life to come is eternal life. But the now aspect, and then notice it says, with persecutions. You know, there are some family you can have, you can do that with, and things don't get better. Instead, things get worse. You become persecuted for your faith. See, the truth is, you didn't really have it to begin with, because you looked into the truth. And that's terrible, but it gives you the truth. You now know the truth, and you can now actually move towards what I call the miraculous. You can be in praying and seeking God to change those family members, those people. You can see God do miracles in their lives. But you can't see, God can't do a miracle. You can live in deception and think everything's fine and it's not. But when you lay it down before the Lord, He brings you 100-fold. My father and I had a terrible relationship after he became a Christian. And it was literally before he died, I was able to pray with him, lead him to the Lord, bring restoration there. And that moves into the eternal. I saw that happen. It was miraculous. But it took a while. But it was worth it. It was worth it because God has got these promises. Matthew 13:9. He who has ear, let him hear. Do you have an ear to hear? Hearing from God involves the Holy Spirit. It involves maturity and loving God. It involves laying down our lives and truly loving Him with our whole heart. As I close today, we will be going into many of the mysteries of the kingdom. And I want you to participate. I want you to experience. I want you to truly be impacted by God's word. So do you really love Him? I hope that you'll lay everything aside. I hope that you will join with me in putting aside my understanding, my thoughts, my foolishness, and ask God for His mind, His understanding, and asking Him to open up and teach me, to show me these things. They're not secrets. They're before me. I just can't understand them, and He can do that. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just ask that You would move our hearts today, God. Lord, by faith, we love You. We want to grow with You. We want to put aside our thoughts, our expectations. Lord, we don't want to be like those scribes and Pharisees who thought they knew everything, that wanted to do things my way. I can do this my way. God, I've tried and tried this and that, and if I just do this my way, it'll work. God, we lay those things down, God, because we know that only brings disappointment and frustration and confusion. And Lord, we ask that You would speak to us by Your Spirit, that God, You'd help us to love You and grow and become mature in You, God. We don't want to be children throwing tantrums, God. We want to be mature, God. And we want to understand the mysteries, God. It's not a secret. We just don't understand it, and it's a mystery. But Lord, through Your Spirit, You can give us a new mind, and You can speak to us. And God, I pray that You'd do that, that You would put ears on our spiritual hearts, that You'd help us to hear You. And as we go into this new year, 2022 and beyond, that You'd begin to teach us what it truly means to walk and be impacted and empowered by You. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you've liked this series that we are starting. This is an abbreviated message that I do on Sundays. I do not do live casting of my Sunday services because of open discussion and personal information that is sometimes shared. But I will sit down in the studio here and I will re-go through the information so that we can put it out on the web and for people to hear and to understand. Please interact with us on Facebook, Christian Impact Ministries. You can also go to our website, www.christianimpact.net. That is not a .com, it is a .net. And so christianimpact.net or christianimpactministries.net. Look us up, look up our information, give us a shout out, and feel free to interact with us. Until next time, God bless.